Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
How Toyok Knusum Slamat, thank you. Welcome to Juno Afternoon from listener-supported KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Conversations coming up for this Thursday, November 6th, 2025. We talk with Resurrection Lutheran Church about how they are helping with the food scarcity issue in Juno. In addition to their everyday work, they are having a special telethon, the Juno Hunger Jam. It's this Saturday, November 8th. We'll find out what's in store and how you can help. Juno Commission on Aging's Deborah Craig and Linda Kruger are here for this month's updates on capital access, housing, and activities happening this November. And tomorrow is First Friday, and that means we begin today with Fubao.
Thank you, Boston.
Going to the cheese Fubao. Artist and photographer Fubao Harda will have his third First Friday pop-up at Kindred Post. Fubao will feature note cards, prints, and the 2026 calendar. These are very popular. They'll be on display and available for purchase. Fubao will be at the pop-up on November 7th. That's tomorrow, from 4:30 to 7 at 145 South Franklin Street, which is Kindred Post. And also joining us from Kindred Post is Kelsey Bryce Riker. Gunchish wasiti, Kelsey. How are you?
I'm doing great, Boston. Thanks for having us.
Okay. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. And also joining us, the silent one over there, John Hartle, Fubao's dad. Welcome in.
Thank you. I should say, I was first on K2 when it was at the high school.
Oh, nice. That's the early days. Those are the we just talked about that last year when we were having the 50th anniversary. Yeah. So all those high school memories of in that little booth, right? Nice. Well, welcome in, John. Thank you so much. So, Kelsey, I'm going to start with you before we start talking to Fubao. This is the third year that you've had Fubao doing the pop-up. I don't know, is this the record for First Friday people at Kindred Post? Like, he seems like he's there all the time.
You know, I can't speak to any records. Kindred Post is in its 11th year of operation downtown. I've only been there for 3 or 4 years, so I cannot speak to that. However, we love having Fubao come visit the store just on a random day. We love carrying Fubao's note cards and calendars, and we absolutely love these pop-ups. The store is packed when Fubao has a pop-up at Kindred Post, so yeah. It's always a lot of fun.
Well, he does like to pack the house.
It's true. That's true.
That is the thing that Fubao likes, no matter what he's doing. So is there also, just to look ahead real quick before we jump to Fubao here, are you planning something big for Gallery Walk this year? What's happening for Gallery Walk?
Yeah, so we're still in talks about what it actually looks like, but we are going to have author Emily Wall and artist Bonalyn Parker in collaboration doing some sort of food, poetry, art, extravaganza. So we don't exactly know what it is yet. So the public really doesn't know what it is yet, but I know it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. Emily was just on the show yesterday talking about her collaboration with Elise Tomlinson that's opening in town here. And that's going to be really cool. I think it's down at the Juno Douglas City Museum. It's all about dogs.
Wow.
Dogs in Juno and Douglas. So that's going to be a fun exhibit. Anyway, we're here to talk about Fubao and his happenings tomorrow. So Fubao, I know in addition to being a photographer, you've done so many other things. You're involved with the Special Olympics. You involved with the – are you still bowling?
Yes, bowling just finish and the junior athlete is heading to, Anchorage for state games.
Oh, for the state games. When's that happening?
I think it's this weekend.
Oh, this weekend. Okay, that's pretty awesome. And you have been taking photos for how long, Fubao? Has it been? It's been a number of years. I know. Right?
I think 10. Oh.
More than 10?
More than 10. 7.
7 to 10 years
yes.
or so? Yeah, long time. I know it's been a long time. And when did you start figuring out that you wanted to print these and get them out to the public? That was like a few years back, right? With your mom's help?
Yeah. I always wanted to start my own photography business.
Yeah, you wanted to start your own photography business. Yeah. And your mom helped you, right?
Yes,
I know your dad probably helped out
my
too.
My mom and my dad helped me help me kick started also.
Yeah. And you have been, not only do you do these pop-ups at Kindred Post, but I've seen you over the last couple of years. You end up at Public Market. You end up at the stocking stuffer event there's, or whatever that is that happens at the Jack. I know you've done that in the past. So you are really wanting to get yourself out there, right?
Yes. And also every year I always wanted to expand and offer markets also.
Right, get bigger and bigger,
bigger and bigger.
Yeah, so you offer, tomorrow at the pop-up, you're going to be offering, we can see for those who are looking on the live stream, and I believe Fubao's mom, Claire, is watching, so hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
you can see some of the prints there. You take outdoor photography mostly. Why is that, Fubao?
Because I feel like we can't start our own business. I know it's hard, but don't be afraid to put the foot into your door of self-employment.
Yeah, get self-employment, right? Is that
yes,
what you're saying? Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like everybody say, "Oh, it's too hard." No, it's not too hard. Get some grants, get funding, get
right.
people who really will be a move, driving force.
Yeah, for sure. And how do you decide where to go in town to get all these outdoor photography? Where do you just figure out, I'm going to go to this location this time and try to get a big picture of this mountain? Is that what you try to do?
Yeah. Yes, but we often go on our boat also.
Oh, you go on the boat. Okay. So, John, are you guys taking Fubao out to various locations on the boat so he can get these awesome shots? Is that kind of what happens?
Yeah, we go out 2 months in the summer on our sailboat all over Southeast, and that's where these come from, like these ones showing here from Glacier Bay, for example.
Okay, I see. That's awesome. And then you decide which ones you're going to be putting into note cards and or you make the bigger prints. And then, of course, you have to figure out 12 months of the year, right? Because you got to put your calendar together.
Yes.
Yeah, I've had this calendar the last couple years. I love this calendar. It hangs in my office so I can see some of the outdoors because I stare at a parking lot most of the time. So it's nice to be able to see what we've got here. And we've got Mendenhall Glacier is going to be January. You've got Mount Cooper in here. You've got a lovely picture of a sea otter. There's Pack Creek Tidelands. Oh, wow, that's beautiful. And so how do you work with your, I know, I think last year you told me you sort of worked with your mom to figure out which photo would go with which month. Do you guys spend some time figuring out which one you want to put on each month?
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you figure that out? Like this is June, right? So this is like more summery.
Summer.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's more of a summer look, right? With the water there and just maybe a little bit of snow on the mountains. That's so cool. Yeah, go ahead, John.
He needs 13 photos for his calendar, and he took 1,800 photographs last summer.
Wow.
So how do you distill it down?
His mother, his manager, and he, and with input, but
yeah, right.
I'm the feet of the organization. They're the brains.
Yeah,
go
I know.
Mom.
Yeah, go Mom for sure. Yeah, figuring out how to get from – so you're just snapping away all the time, huh, Fubao?
Yep.
Yeah. What kind of camera do you use? Do you know the name of the camera or what kind of camera it is?
Leica and a Fuji, but mostly a Leica.
Leica, okay.
To be higher quality.
Right, right, right. To get the higher quality, get these. Look at this one. This is like tidal reflections. Look at that. Wow. That's so cool. That is really nice. I like that a lot. That's a good one.
And also, don't miss out. Come tomorrow night and just pack that house with as many people as we can. Just jam-packed it.
I love it. Jam-pack it. Make it happen. Oh, yeah, and then we get into the winter here, and we start seeing the ice jam. I can't wait. I can't wait to pick this up, whether I'm there tomorrow or whether I see you at Public Market. It'll be one of those two that will do that. So you can also follow Fubao on his website. He's got Photos by Fubao. That's F-U-B-A-O, photosbyfubao.com. But you also have an Instagram.
Yes, it's called Photos by Fubao.
Same as your website, yes. Photos by Fubao on Instagram. And what do you post there? You post all the pictures that you're taking and stuff?
Yes, and will they see me next? And can't post is the real saying about saying, you might see on Instagram saying, come on down to Kindred Post.
Right, where we're going to see you next. And where we are going to see you next is Kindred Post. And that's going to be happening tomorrow. It is for First Friday from 4:30 to 7. Fubao will be there with calendars, note cards, prints. They're all original Alaska photographs. And I believe that you still have the Made in Alaska sticker on here.
Yes.
You print everything right here in Alaska. That is so cool. And Kelsey, one of the things that I really enjoy about Kindred Post is the commitment that y'all have to artists like Fubao and local artists all around. Like, you carry so many different artists, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I'll start that. Fubao, when we were waiting, said, Kelsey, make sure people know what Kindred Post is, because right, not everyone knows what it is. And so we are downtown on Franklin Street, and we are a gift shop and a post office, believe it or not, and we like to be a community gathering space.
Mm.
So First Friday is really where we can shine. And there is so much talent in this town and mm-hmm. in Southeast Alaska and in Alaska. I am not from here. I moved here 5 years ago, and the artistic community continues to astound me every day. And I'm not a visual artist,
mm-hmm.
so seeing people who can take photographs and who can paint and who can put things down on a physical paper, canvas, whatever, that is mind-blowing to me. So I love getting to meet local artists, whether they're here in Juneau or, you know, somewhere in Alaska, and getting to see the art they are making. But here in Juneau, there are so many incredible artists. Yeah, it is a privilege. It is an honor to carry these artists, because I am astounded every day.
I'm lucky to be able to talk with them all the time. And like you, I can't do anything with my hands like that.
Yep.
So I'm always impressed. And I've always been impressed by Fubao and the work that he does and the photos that he takes. And, of course, with the help from his momager.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I have a question, Chelsea. I'm trying to figure out, how did I get started from Kindred Post?
How did you get started at Kindred
That's
Post?
That's a really good question. I don't know if a pop-up came first and then we started carrying your stuff, or if you just came in one day and said, hey, I'm a photographer. And we said, great, we want to sell your stuff.
I wouldn't put it past Fubao.
I know.
Just walked in.
I know.
And said, hey, I'm Fubao. I have these things. I want you to sell them.
And either way, gosh, I'm just so glad you reached out either way.
I love it. Well, Fubao is going to be at Kindred Post tomorrow. And what you can do is you can buy one of the note cards. You could write a note to somebody you love or enjoy and pop it in the mail right there at Kindred Post.
We sell stamps. You
sell
can mail
stamps
it right
and
there.
Envelopes. I love it. So it's one-stop shopping down there at Kindred Post. And you can meet Fu Bao tomorrow from 4:30 to 7. You can look over his wares. He's got note cards, calendars, prints, all that good stuff. Fu Bao, it's always a pleasure to have you in here to talk about your work.
Thank you. Don't miss out. Turn out.
You got to turn out. You got to turn out for sure. That's exactly what you need to do. I really appreciate you both being here, as well as you, John. Thank you so much for coming in today. And break a leg with the event tomorrow, Fu Bao.
Okay, let's get everybody hyped.
Hyped up, yes, absolutely. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Let's listen to a little bit of Buddy Tabor.
Just as long as I'm in this world, I am the light. Just as long as I'm in this world, I am the light of this world. Yes, I am. Said he was a light. Yes, he's the light of this world. You don't believe in Jesus? Not a word is said. He went all the way down to Lazarus' grave and raised him from the dead. Just as long as I'm in this world, I am the light. Just as long as I'm in this world, I am the light of this world. Yes, I am. Said he was a light. Yes, he is the light of this world. Jesus walked on the water, he called the blind to see. He went all the way up to Calvary and died for you and me. Just as long as I'm in this world, I am the light. Just as long as I'm in this world, I am the light of this world. Yes, I am. Said he was the light. Yes, he's the light of this world. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. It's written in the Bible, a promise for you and me. Jesus came all the way into this life to give life more abundantly. Just as long as I'm in this world, I am the light. Just as long as I'm in this world, I am the light of this world. Yes, I am. Said he was the light. Yes, he is the light of this world.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter, with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear for the whole family. Now carrying women's workwear from Dovetail and Aloe Yoga Pants. Located in the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I am your host, Boston Christopher. I'm joined in studio now by Deborah Craig and Linda Kruger for this month's update from the Juno Commission on Aging. Aging so cool, everybody's doing it, right? For sure. So Gwyneth Cheese, welcome in. Hi, Deborah. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Boston. It's great to be here.
And Linda Wasiati, how are you today?
Thank you. I'm great. Thanks.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us.
So let's get to it. So remind us real quick what the Juno Commission on Aging is. I think people are getting the hint. It's really good that it's out there, but you're doing all kinds of good work and partnerships. But just remind us again what it is.
That's great. Thanks, Boston. Yeah, the Juno Commission on Aging is appointed by the CBJ Assembly, and it's our role to advocate for seniors in Juno. And we've expanded that role a tiny bit in terms of being doing more outreach to ensure that Juno seniors know a lot of the things that are going on in Juno. And we get to double dip on the Juno Commission on Aging because while I represent the JCOA as the chair, Linda is on the JCOA but also represents the AARP Community Action Team.
She's hey, can lead. I tell you something real quick?
Yeah.
I told you last month or so that I joined. I did a 3-year
right.
membership.
Good job.
And they sent me a really cool lunch bag, lunch tote. And I want to commend the AARP because they didn't put a bunch of marketing on it. It's just an actual lunch bag that's very useful, insulated, really cool thing. And I was expecting to see AARP on the back and on the cover. There's no sign of it at all. So I just wanted to say thank you, AARP.
All right. You're welcome. I will pass that along, Boston. That's good to hear. You've had a positive experience.
I did. So that's
good.
Cool. Yeah.
AARP actually has some of the best swag. So if you end up at any community event and AARP's there, get to the AARP
Get
the
swag table.
Because they have the swag. You can't beat it.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So what are we talking about this month?
Well, this month we've got a couple of announcements to make because there are some big changes in terms of transportation, and transportation is always a big issue for people around communities, especially seniors. Mm. And as of November 1st, Capital Access, used to be called Caravan, is no longer being operated by Catholic Community Services. It had to go out to bid. It's a city process.
Okay.
And the bidding operator changed to a company called GTS. And so if you're a regular user of that system, you would have received a letter with an application an invitation to update your ADA transportation eligibility. But if you're not a regular user, you need to be aware that as of November 1st, there's a new phone number, there's a new website, and there's some new conditions in terms of being able to use the Capital Access. And those are the buses that go around town and pick up people who, not just seniors, people who experience disabilities or have mobility issues, and help get them to doctor's offices or to the grocery stores. You've probably seen them in the front of Foodland.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whoops, IGA.
Yeah. IGA Foodland.
Yeah, sorry.
You can say it either way. It's all the same, right?
We also keep calling them the same thing, no matter what they are now.
Yeah,
we
for
know
sure.
what they were years ago.
So that means that, do you have the new phone number?
Yes.
Okay, let's get that out.
So if you want to be using Capital Access, the phone number is 844-425-2377. 844-425-2377. Or you can email capital.transit@juno.gov. Or you can just go to the Juno Commission, just Google the Juno Commission on Aging. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom of our web page, we have, we try to change up the web page all the time. There's actually a link to get to the forms and everything you need, the contact information. So if you can't remember the phone number or capital transit@juno.gov, just go to the Juno Commission on Aging website, go to the bottom of the page, and you'll see that information.
That's so interesting. I didn't even know that it was contracted out. I did not know that. I thought it was just part of the city transit system. Because we get those, we get those messages on air all the time when they're, off for a holiday or something like that. And they say Capital Transit and Capital Access passengers, be aware, et cetera, et cetera. We're off for Thanksgiving or whatever it is. So that's interesting that they have to be, that it's contracted out. That's kind of interesting information. So who's the new contractor then?
It's a company called GTA. And an interesting component of this is that CCS previously provided transport to people even if they didn't have an ADA eligibility card. Mm. And that won't be the case now.
You have to have the card?
You have to have the card, and it has to be updated. So you really – and, you could also call Capital Transit, which is 789-6901. Sorry, I'm giving everybody all these phone numbers. But this is really a big deal for people who, like, once a month they get some of their benefits and they want to go shopping and they call Capital Access. So it's a big deal for people who have transportation issues, can't drive their own cars, don't have their own cars, and can't use the bus system.
But that's a big deal that they have to have the ADA card to be able to use the service, because that maybe people have let that lapse or something. So you got to make sure that you jump on that. And if you have any feedback, I'm sure you could talk to the email that email and give them feedback, right?
Yes, absolutely. Call the phone numbers. And if things aren't working the way they're supposed to, call Capital Transit.
Yeah.
Because this is anytime there's a transition,
oh, always,
anytime
yeah.
there's a change, there's
yeah.
always going to be glitches. I mean,
little
that's
snafus,
just the nature
yeah.
of the beast.
Yeah.
And so if things aren't working, call people and try to get it worked out. But do be aware that you need to engage if this is a regular service that you use and you want to continue to use
okay.
it.
Okay. Cool. That's yep. Capital Access update. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. What else is going on?
Well, we got some housing stuff going on, and I think everybody in Juneau is aware that we have some housing issues, and we're not alone. You know, this is happening across the United States. Number mm-hmm. one, we have aging population around the world, not just the United States. And as people are aging, their housing needs are kind of changing. And if we don't have alternatives to downsize to, we're going to stay in our homes, which then clogs up the whole turnover process with housing. So this is something that's nationwide. It's not just Juneau. But Linda and I were invited to the CBJ Housing and Development Forum last Tuesday, which sounds a little dry. Maybe it says something about our personalities, but it was a fascinating workshop. We dug it. And one of the speakers mentioned that we have community issues and we as a community need to come up with the solutions. That we can't just look to the city all the time and say, hey, you guys, solve all these problems, you know, do this, do that, and expect that to happen. It's a community issue, so we need to weigh in. So the Juneau, the CBJ is updating their comprehensive plan. They usually do this every 10 years, but it hasn't been done for a while. And the community plan is trying to get feedback from people online, at workshops, etc. And you may have heard about some of those things happening around town. But I really want people, if you want to have your voice heard in terms of how we can make Juneau a better place to live, a more livable place to live, go to Google Our Future, OurFuture, ourfuture.juneau.gov, and it will link you to this comprehensive planning process where you can find out where workshops or surveys are happening. And there's actually an online survey right now asking people to tell us what you want. Come to the table, tell us what your needs are, and give and help provide solutions. And I think that's a really cool part of the whole comprehensive planning process. Is it's not being done in a back room. Somebody's not doing it somewhere in an office all by themselves, all by their lonesome. CBJ is really trying to reach out and get people to engage and be a part of the process. And as well as that being part of this forum that we attended, we also talked about CBJ's planning officials are working on a building code update and a permitting software that's going to make getting permits easier, more efficient, simpler. And they're in this process now. Same thing. If you want to weigh in, go to 49 Rewrite in the CBJ's manager's office and tell them what you think. Tell them what you want to see happen because they're working on updating these codes and this permitting software. And it's hopefully going to make the whole building process less complicated in Juneau, which is going to be a huge help for contractors. You know, it's a bummer because the recent vote to minimize property tax is probably going to help those with big incomes, but it might minimize access to some of the programs, the housing programs that are available through CBJ as well. So, for example, the CBJ is trying to make it easier to add an ADU, an accessory dwelling unit, by simplifying criteria. Whew.
Yes.
Sorry. Simplifying criteria.
I hate that word too.
And providing these small grants that help fund these ADU improvements or add-ons. And they have an affordable housing fund. Both of those things might be impacted because of these changes to the city budget, which is really, truly a bummer because the CBJ is working hard to try to resolve some of these housing issues, and now we might be put on hold for a little bit because of the lack of resources and revenue.
Yeah, I know they just had a meeting, or I just saw something, a news story here on KTOO.org about they're going to try to hold off on doing anything huge until next fiscal year. They're going to try to make it through this fiscal year and then figure out like what's the possibilities. But it's now the opportunity to maybe take advantage of these grants or these programs that you're talking about in terms of if you want to do an ADU or if you're trying to, what is that? Is it
accessory dwelling unit?
Okay. And what is that?
Well, it's an add-on to your home, and it can be something as simple as changing a space within your home and making it a separate unit so that a family member or a home healthcare worker could live there to help you out.
I see.
or a complete add-on.
I was going to say, and the new rules, it doesn't have to be part of your house. It could be a separate garage or a separate building that you have on your property that could be used as a, you know, a rental or, you know, a mother-in-law, you know, apartment or something like that.
But if you're looking to maybe do that, now might be the time to look into it. If you've been thinking about it, this might be the time.
That's
right?
a really
good
point. We
don't know what the resources will be in a year or so, for sure.
Yeah,
okay,
that's a great point, Boston, because, you know, if you've been thinking about it, you're right. Now's the time.
Now's the time.
Because we don't know what that funding is going to look like in the future.
Cool. Okay. And let's go to the next thing. What's up next?
Well, let's see. We have some recreation and wellness that
we want to keep people active. And the weather, if you notice outside, the weather's gotten a little kind of shaky. And
a little frightful,
as they
say.
We want people to be active. And so there's all kinds of things coming up between now and the end of the month.
Okay.
The piano series at the Jack. There's a concert at 7 p.m. on the 14th and the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at the Jack. And those are really fun if you've been to any of those. The Icefield Quartet, that's one of Sally Schlichting's groups. They're going to be playing at Northern Light on the 15th at 7 p.m. and out at the Shrine at 2 p.m. on the 16th.
Yeah, I think they'll be on the show to talk about that a little bit.
Yay.
I love the Icefield Quartet.
They're wonderful. That's great. And then Juno Community Bands has a couple of concerts on the 29th at Northern Light. And, let me see. Yeah, the 29th at Northern Light and the 30th, I think, is, I don't know if that's also at Northern Light. Anyway, 2 p.m. So it's 7 p.m. on the 29th and 2 p.m. somewhere on the 30th.
That's the Handel's Messiah. They're doing part one of that. I think they'll be on the show to talk about that closer to the date,
Great.
Too.
Yeah. Okay, so well, this
we'll,
just is
we'll
a heads
get clarified.
Up. Save
yeah.
it. Save it on
save
your calendar.
Dates.
Save the space on
yeah.
your calendar.
Yeah.
And then for this Saturday, the Juno Trail and Roadrunners has a run, but for me, I walk, and so I'm just going to encourage seniors or anybody out there, if you're interested, it's an 8K and a 1 mile that starts at Brotherhood Bridge at 10 a.m., and that's a Veterans Day run/walk, and I would love to see folks come out and walk with me. A lot of times I'm the only one walking, and it would be nice to have some companionship out there. So I encourage people to get up and move and come see your friends and enjoy nature and be outdoors.
And who's putting that on this
Juno side. Trail and Roadrunners.
Okay, Juno
which is
Trail
our local
Runners.
Running club.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so that should be really fun. And it's usually a pretty good turnout for Veterans Day. Yeah,
awesome.
All ages. A lot of youngsters come, kids come and do the 1 mile, and then all ages do the 8 mile.
Do you know of any other activities that are happening? Because I know a lot of people either are retired or they have off on Veterans Day. Is there anything else going on around that time that is that we would know about?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
Okay.
But the other thing that I do have is from Search, and Search has their Move to Improve 5-week fitness program for all ages.
Mm.
And getting started, it runs from October 1st to 31st. So we're kind of almost halfway through. But you can go to search, searchc.org, /Movetober, MOVETOBER, -2025, and register. And you submit your project progress each week, what progress you've made, your movement, what you've done, kind of exercises and things you've done, and then you're entered to win prizes, and they have all kinds of good prizes. So,
you said October, but you meant November, right?
I meant, this is October, Deb.
Oh,
Deb gave this to me, and I think she messed up.
I did.
Sorry, guys. Cancel
my
all
apologies.
That.
But it doesn't mean you can't get out and move
It
still.
Doesn't mean you can't get out. Please get out and move, and if you're available on Saturday, come out to Brotherhood Bridge. And run or walk with us out there on Saturday.
Go walk with Linda.
Go
Why
walk.
Not?
Yeah,
walk with Linda.
Linda needs a pal to walk with.
Deborah, get out there and walk with Linda on Saturday.
Well, and don't be daunted by the weather. You know, it was interesting. Yesterday, I hiked up Eagle Crest with some friends, and we were ready for everything. We had all the clothes and the grippers and you know, winter gear. We got up there, and there was a warm wind blowing. We walked to the top. It was beautiful. It never rained. It never snowed. It was just gorgeous. So get out there and play. Sometimes it's a lot better out there than you think it's going to be.
I love that. Okay.
I was going to say, and for those who don't want to go outdoors, but you still want to move, on Sundays at the Juno, at the Alaska Club downtown at 4 o'clock, Juno International Folk Dancers has folk dance. It's free from 4 to about 5:30 or so. And Bruce Botello is an amazing instructor. He teaches folk dance, teaches dance for the first hour, and then we just do some oldies and goodies, but it's a fun group, and all ages are welcome, and just a fun way to get a little exercise and a little socialization, being with people.
Absolutely.
Which is really important this time of year.
And Deb, you had one last thing.
Yeah, and I messed up Moved-Over, but Grandparents in Play and Practice is happening, the Southeast Childhood Collective, on Tuesday, November 18th from 10:30 to 11:30 at the Rainforest Play Zone. Grandparents and kids can get together and build reading skills and vocabulary skills and social skills. And on the 26th, they can go to the Mendenhall Valley Public Library and have story time. And so this is just a great way for grandparents to get together and have activities to do with their kiddos. And always check the library. The library has tons of stuff going on. Bartlett has tons of stuff going on.
Yep.
Search has
it's a busy
tons
community.
Of stuff going on. We are an incredibly busy community. And so...
doesn't slow down in the winter.
It does not
keep
slow
going.
Down. We
and you can
keep
find
going.
Most of the things available. You just go, put in your favorite search engine, Juno Commission on Aging. It'll bring up their page. You go there. You'll have all these buttons and things and calendars and all the stuff that Linda and Deborah were talking about today. And we'll see you in December.
Great.
That sounds great.
I really
Thanks
appreciate
so much,
you
Boston.
Being here.
Thanks,
Gunnar Cheech, for coming in today. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Let's listen to a little bit of Josh Fortenberry. This is called Heavens Above from his new album, Tidy Memorial.
You should have known you can't trust me. 'Cause I won't fight for anything except empathy. Can't commit to one idea. Driving circles and I always check my mirror. But it's not like I can't see what's wrong. I read the news, I just hate protest songs. It's too easy. Put your guns away. Power, on the bows to power. Surround myself with like-minded peers and talk for hours. All I know is who could harm me. But I can't fix it on my own. No, I'd have to raise an army. I won't kill anything, and I don't want the crown of king. I'm just hoping for a peaceful war. But then again, I wanna win. Know you think that I'm naive, but I say nihilists are not immune to grief. Just convinced we've been ugly from day one. Nobody selfless ever reaches for a throne, and it's hard to trace where we find our faith. But I worry, I'm talking to myself. 'Cause all my monologues end with you're all going to hell. Nobody cares like I do. But I'm pretty sure you think that nobody cares like you. So I
try to be kind. I will share what is mine, but that's not enough to prove my love. Heaven's above. And it's smothering us.
Hans and Gress, ka eat with the shoe ye, we ka shook a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na khaya ha an ka gun cheese.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm Boston Christopher. With the federal government shutdown impacting both federal workers and those who receive monthly Supplemental Nutrition Assistant Program benefits, otherwise known as SNAP, plus the ongoing issues of food scarcity for those experiencing homelessness, Juneau is in a bit of a food scarcity situation. And our local Southeast Alaska Food Bank is running at full pressure, to say the least. Many organizations are working to help, and Resurrection Lutheran Church is one of them. They've already been providing meals a few days a week, and we have some news on that to deliver. And now they're putting on a special Juno Hunger Jam Telethon on this Saturday, November 8th. I'm now joined in the studio by from Resurrection Lutheran Church. I have Bradley Perkins. Gwyneth Cheesh, Wasiati. Brad, how are you?
Thank you. Thanks for having us on again. We really appreciate it.
Of course. And then I also have Karen Laufer in. Hi, Karen.
Hello. Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you. And we have one of the sponsors, as well as, I'm sure, behind the scenes, making it all happen sound-wise.
Hey,
from Alaska Music One, and really good friend of KTO, Keith Giles. Wasiati. Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. Okay, so let's first talk a little bit about this food scarcity issue, Bradley. I know that you already, as the church already has a couple days a week that you've been helping out. You offer meals. But with the recent federal government shutdown, and also I know some of the SNAP benefit stuff has been solved a little bit. I know the governor put in some work that people are going to get their full benefits. I think by tomorrow was the day that they are going to have their full amount in their SNAP account. So that's going to be great. But I'm just curious, like, did you see an increase, like, in your Tuesday offerings this week?
Yeah. So we've been seeing it steadily for quite a while. There's been, you know, food scarcity was happening even before the federal shutdown. With our patrons, we've been seeing not just federal workers, but school teachers and all kinds of people in Juneau coming in. And certainly the SNAP benefit question was making people nervous. And so we were seeing people come in on Tuesdays. The food pantry is open on Tuesdays from noon to 4:30, and we were, you know, pretty much running out of food by 2:30 or 3 in the food pantry area. And then in the meals area, you know, we've been doing meals, and the cafeteria's been expanded this year, and we were, you know, offering meals for both dining in the cafeteria and the dining area, as well as takeout, so people could take out meals to take home, as well as for family members. And that jumped up to, you know, like 500 meals. And that's due partly to the fact that the Gloria Hall made a decision only to feed the 55 residents there. And we know from the last point in time count in January, the preliminary numbers said there were over 300 people without housing in Juneau. And so there's just not places for them to get meals. And so we feed people during the food pantry on Tuesday, but we also have been feeding people since the beginning of the year on Saturdays, noon to 1:30. This week, the church decided to expand that for at least November. On Thursdays, we're going to also feed them from noon to 1:30, and on Thanksgiving, we'll do that from 6 to 8 o'clock at night, 6 to 8:30 on that. And then we'll look at December, because we're just, so many people need a place to get a meal, and so we're going to do that too.
That's amazing. I know last time you were here, we talked a little bit about the fact that Southeast Alaska Food Bank is where a lot of the food prep and a lot of the food that you get to be able to make these meals happen. I'm sure that they are also in need. I know there's people putting up food donation areas. I know the City Douglas Museum just mentioned yesterday they're going to have a place on First Friday if you want to drop some stuff off for the food bank. And I know other organizations around town are doing that. But I'm curious, like, with adding this third day, Brad, how much of this gap do you think that we can fill or that you can fill right now?
So, you know, that fortunately, the Southeast Alaska Food Bank's been very supportive in making sure we have enough food to do the cafeteria. We don't buy food for the cafeteria. We make it all up, whatever they give us. So unlike a soup kitchen where they might have a menu for whatever, we take whatever we get and we turn that into meals. And so you come in there and there's never, you know, there's all these different dishes and there's maybe, you know, a half hotel pan of this and a half hotel pan of that. And then a cold bar has this and that. But we can turn, we'll maybe make 100 hotel pans worth of food when we open up and it'll all disappear. And so they're very supportive. They have big hunks of whatever, and they say, can you take this? And we, sure, and we'll turn that into something like that. So they're finding a way to get us food because they want us to make sure we can feed people. And that was the mandate of two grants we got a couple of years ago from Rasmussen and the Southeast Alaska Food Network, was to up our game in the kitchen and the cafeteria so that we could feed downtown. You know, even with the Glory Hall, when it did feed, was feeding people, there still were people downtown that weren't getting food. But now we are now the people feeding people, so we can do that.
And Karen Lawford, tell me a little bit about the church and in terms of how they are making these decisions to continue to help, especially as it seems like this problem isn't necessarily going away.
Well, we have a food pantry group of steady volunteers. And we meet once a month and we talk about what's happening and we see that the need is there. And so it was like, do we add another day to meet the need? The wonderful thing about the cafeteria, I mean, it is lovely to have a food pantry and be able to hand out food so that people can take shelf-stable or frozen food home. But there's a lot of people that don't have the facilities to bake or to cook, and they can come in and they can have a hot meal. They can have some of the best salads that we make and, you know, desserts. I mean, we even have dessert. So it's just some place where a person can go. But the other part to that is it's a community meal. And regardless of whether you experience food insecurity, people come in and it's a place to be able to meet the community. And as I said the last time I was here, you know, the whole happiness survey that was done last year shows that eating in community, for many people, that's what brings happiness to them. We don't ask. We have no idea where, you know, the individuals are coming from and everything, but to be able to just sit down with someone and go, so how's it going? What's going on? And I think that that's probably one of the nicest thing about being able to have a community meal. And so for us to expand it for a third day, especially coming into a holiday season, when a lot of people, you know, do experience, I think, some levels of loneliness. And so I don't care if, you know, where you live or what you've got, and if food insecurity is an issue, just come on in and meet your neighbors and meet the community, because it is, I think that's why we probably have such a wonderful group of volunteers, is because we really are a community. And the volunteers are a community, and we all work together because we know that this makes a difference. And you don't even have to do a lot, but just that little bit that we do really makes a difference in people's lives.
I'm curious, by adding the third day, obviously that is going to put a little bit of pressure on your volunteers to do more, step up a little bit. I'm curious if the situation were to get worse, is there any in terms of plans that you might have to add further days, or does it get to be cost prohibitive? How would that be possible, I guess? What could
well,
you do?
I think that, one, the fact that we have been able, through these grants, to really ramp up the kitchen and the serving, it has really made a huge difference. The difference to from being able to cook in what you would consider a traditional church kitchen, you know, with the old pots and pans and that everybody had donated, and what we can do now. So we've really made it so it's a lot more efficient and easier to do with regards to that. But I really think that when you look at the people who are dedicated and volunteering, that I think that we keep saying if we see a need, we've got to do our part to help with it.
And one way, I guess, to get more resources is to raise a little money. And one of the things that you're doing is to help this situation is this wonderful event that you're having on Saturday called the Juno Hunger Jam. And did you create the website, too? You created the hungerjam.org website?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, this must be a national movement or something.
No,
and I went to the website, and I went there, and I was like, oh, this is a page they just created for this event, which
great
is kind of cool.
Hungerjam.org.
You can find out a little bit about all the details. We're going to talk about it here, but you can also go there to look it up at your leisure, as they say.
Exactly.
So tell me, who wants to tell me a little bit about this event on Saturday? Where do we start?
So I can start with it. So it was, this was actually Lucy Merrill, the music director of the church, said we should do an event because the food bank had gotten a lot of federal grants, and we were participating in at least one of them. And those, of course, all ended, you know. And so there was, and so we were getting at least a third of our food under one of these federal grants. And that one ended at the end of the fiscal year in the end of June. And so that one's gone. And so we're not getting food from them on that, and neither are they. And so there's a need to replace that food with some money. And so we thought, well, let's find out a way if we can do that. And the telethon idea was something I've done telethons before other places, and I wanted to do one at Perseverance Theater before I left there, and we never got around to doing it. And the TV studio is an ideal place to do a telethon. And so we thought, let's do it here. So we were able to do it here. And we were looking for a name, and LZ, who's the treasurer of the church, said, how about Hunger Jam? And ChatGPT said, hey, you should get the website and make it an annual event. And I went, you know, you're right about that. And believe it or not, it was available. And so we, you know, we're all real quick on setting up websites and, you know, and pages and all that. And we got a logo. And so we're hoping to do this every year now. And so we've got it set up, and we have 12 acts on Saturday coming in, you know, including, you know, Colette Costa's group is coming in to be our headlining group. We've got all kinds of Juno strings and Juno string ensembles, you know, Mr. Shaw's group coming in, and a bunch of other bands coming in. It should be a really great event coming in there. And so the public's invited, and so they can, you know, we need a studio audience, as well as you can watch it online on our YouTube channel at the church. All the information's on there. If you come in as part of the studio audience, you get to go downstairs and eat in the cafeteria. And of course, all the bands get to eat in the cafeteria. There's a silent auction that's both online and in the church, so you can go in there and, you know, bid on items. And we're going to have challenges for the hosts. And so we've got, you know, we've got a couple hosts, and they will, you know, sing songs or do whatever you want them to do that. And so we'll, a typical telethon stuff. Telethons are no longer done with phone banks. They're done using Zoom. So you can call in, and then we have a whole group of Zoom curators that will put you into a room or whatever, and then we'll throw you up on air. And so we've just got, you know, it'll be a fun night, you know, of stuff to do like that.
That's cool. And it's Saturday, November 8th from 6 to 10 p.m. As Brad said, you can show up because Resurrection Lutheran Church does have its own Juno Live TV studio. So that's where they'll be broadcasting that from. And so, and there's a whole bunch of people. High Cost of Living, as Brad mentioned, is going to be there, and a bunch of people. Keith, how are you managing this madness on Saturday? How's this working on Saturday?
I am mostly behind the mixing board, but guiding
you know, where the microphones go and how people set up and tear down and that sort of thing. So that's my biggest job.
Because I can imagine with 12 acts that the switchover, or do you set it all up at once and then you just kind of have different mics for different people, or are you doing a practice run? How's it going?
We are doing some rehearsals and some practice runs starting tonight. But there are two stages for the most part, and we alternate between, and there's a larger area and a smaller area, and so we organize so that we can swap over. And unlike some other events, we're not as focused on having super smooth transitions between the acts this time, because this is not a concert. It's a telethon. It's a little different. So,
because you can fill the time between the setups, right? Talking to artists or talking to different people about the issues that are going on. And I'm imagining, Brad, that will Southeast Alaska Food Bank have a representative there as well on Saturday?
You know, they're kind of thin right now. And so,
I bet.
We will have members there. Jamie is going to be sending somebody there because they're actually the biggest user. I'm on the board of Jamie, and so they'll have somebody there. But we're going to have other people there representing, telling their stories, and we'll have some patrons of the food bank and talking about it. So we'll be filling time with that. But yeah, you know, telethons are not a performance. They are a different animal, right? And so people vamp between things. And so some groups that haven't done a sound check will be doing a sound check while we're vamping between the various groups.
And this will be raising money to support all of the work that you're doing to help fill the federal grant loss. So that you can get food, so you can do these meal days.
Right.
Well, and so what we, not only, of course, does individuals in town have food insecurity, but the Southeast Food Bank does as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can plan for it. Like you said, there were grants and those were gone and everything and on and on. And so when things happen, like all of a sudden SNAP's cut off or the furlough that had happened with federal employees, you know, we want to help the food bank so that they can handle these bumps in the road, too, so that, you know, they don't have to knee-jerk like a lot of people have to do when all of a sudden. So we're trying to help them with their food security as well as individuals and their food security.
So, and you can donate right now. So if you go to the website, you can donate to the on the website now. That'll go, money go there. But people that, if they want it, when they show up on at the telethon, you can bring food. We've got crates there, and we'll accept food, and we'll see that it gets to people that need it too. So
that's
we'll send
great.
It over there too. Yeah. So we will take food donations, but we're also accepting money donations, and that'll go. We'll take money donations all the way through next Friday. That we'll see gets to the food bank. So.
Absolutely. It's the Juno Hunger Jam. It's this Saturday from 6 to 10. You can go to hungerjam.org and you can watch it there, or you can go to Resurrection Lutheran Church right down there on 10th Street.
Yes.
And you can join the audience there. And again, they're adding a third day, Thursday, between noon and 1:30, right?
Noon and 1:30, other than Thanksgiving, which will be, we're going to do it from 6 to 8:30 because Salvation Army does their Thanksgiving dinner at noon, you know, over in the Yacht Club. We didn't want to interfere with that. So we're doing it later in the day before those who go to the cold weather shelter. So they
gotcha. And quickly, give me the website for the Resurrection Lutheran Church.
It is rlcjuno.org.
Yeah, absolutely. Bradley, Karen, Keith, thank you so much for coming in today. I really appreciate you being here. Gunnith Cheesh.
Gunnith Cheesh.
That'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, Golga Oscar, Yupik traditional and contemporary artist, who's having a solo exhibition preview or a show at the Alaska State Museum, will preview that, as well as musicians Marion Call and visiting artist Emily Anderson will play some tunes and preview their upcoming weekend concert in Juno. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunnith Cheesh.